Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into something fascinating, a strategic playbook, essentially, for what looks like an effort to, well, reshape the political map in Texas.
Yeah, it's quite something.
We've got our hands on some detailed notes, strategy documents, and what they show isn't just, you know, a plan. It feels more like a story being built, how local stuff, grassroots action, is being connected to potentially shifting national power.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission here is to pull out the key insights, connect those dots for you, and give you a real shortcut to understanding what's quite a complex picture.
And what's really striking, I think, is seeing that connection laid out so clearly. You know, the link between what someone does in their local town and these much bigger statewide, even national goals.
Right.
It's a blueprint, really. Not just what they're doing, but the strategic why behind it all.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Let's jump right into the community level first.
Yeah.
The documents start strong, talking about standing up for democracy, that kind of thing.
You do.
And they highlight this No Kings rally in Sherman. What did you notice about how they described that event?
Well, first off, this rally in Sherman, it wasn't presented as just a standalone thing. The organizers, according to these notes, saw it as part of a much larger national movement.
Okay.
They mention figures like 5 million Americans protesting peacefully nationwide, rejecting what the source calls Trump's abuse of power.
5 million.
Yeah. So for a place like Sherman, a smaller town, getting around 500 people, maybe even more, that's actually pretty significant.
Right. And the feel of it.
Described as festive, apparently. Anti-Trump signs, yeah, but also pro-American signs, slogans. They even mention a rally choir.
A choir. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the Grayson County Democrats, they handed out about 150 American flags. So it paints a picture of community involvement.
It sounds like more than just a standard protest, more community-driven. You mentioned key figures were involved.
Absolutely. The notes call them out. People like veteran Walter Norris, Professor Glenn Mellencon giving speeches. Teresa Peggs was the MC. Deborah Rushing, credited as a co-host, co-organizer.
So real local leadership.
Exactly. And they didn't just hold the rally. They sent out a press release, got some local media coverage, even an op-ed published in the Whitesboro News Record.
Mm. So planned execution.
Right. It shows that deliberate effort, you know, to plan it, run it, and get positive local attention. It wasn't just spontaneous.
And the documents frame this kind of thing, this community action, as our community rising up, taking responsibility.
It's the language they use. Yeah. Taking responsibility to restore what they see as the balance of power. It suggests these local events are viewed as like foundational steps.
Okay. Foundational steps. But how do these, you know, sparks in places like Sherman connect to a bigger statewide fire? That's where the strategy comes in, right? These organizations.
Exactly. The support structure. The documents point to two main players providing that strategic backbone.
Okay. Who are they?
First, there's Contest Every Race, or CER. That's a national group focused on, well, exactly what the name says, getting candidates for every single race, even the really local ones.
Down to the very local level.
Right. And then you have a state-level collaboration. The Texas Majority AC, that's TMP, a political action committee working with the Texas Democratic Party, the TDP.
Yeah.
And together, they've formed this statewide program called Blue Action. And the local party mentioned earlier, Grayson County Democrats, they've apparently been accepted into both CER and Blue Action.
Got it. So they're plugged into both the national and state efforts. What are these groups actually doing right now, according to the notes? What are the immediate goals?
Okay, so for CER, the national group, there was an assignment back in May to develop and submit a strategic plan.
Right.
Then for June, that No Kings rally we just talked about, they successfully requested that it count as their required community project.
Ah, okay, so linking the local event to the national program's requirements.
Precisely. And looking forward, there's a tentative CER action planned for July or August, a public school supply drive.
Okay.
Paired with a teacher appreciation night offering a free dinner. The documents suggest a dual purpose here.
Which is?
Meeting a community need, obviously, but also aiming for positive press for the Democratic Party. Especially, the notes say, because of what they describe as concern over perceived cuts to public education funding by Donald Trump, Greg Abbott, and other elected Republicans.
Okay, so practical help combined with a political message. And what about the Texas groups, the TMP and TDP's Blue Action? What's their angle?
Their collaboration is described in pretty ambitious terms, ushering in a new era defined by fresh energy, bold leadership, and a renewed commitment.
Strong language.
Yeah. The goal stated is building a political organization that reflects, quote, community strength and diversity. Focus is on core issues. The documents list fair wages, affordable health care, strong public schools.
Pretty standard Democratic platform points.
Right. But the emphasis seems to be on how they build the party. They stress that its strength depends on getting Texas Democrats to engage with neighbors, empower their own communities. It sounds very bottom up.
Less top down, more decentralized. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is where the documents really pivot, right? From the local and state stuff to the national picture. They make a specific case for why Texas is so critical.
Yeah, this is, I think, maybe the core strategic argument presented in these materials. It answers the why Texas question very directly.
And the answer is?
Data-driven, according to them.
Yeah.
They point to projections that by 2030, Texas will gain electoral college votes.
While other states lose them.
Exactly. While traditionally solid blue states, they mention California, New York, Illinois, are projected to lose electoral college votes.
Yeah, okay, so the electoral map is shifting.
Right. And the conclusion drawn in these documents is pretty stark. For Democrats to find a new path to 270 electoral college votes, and also a Senate majority by 2032. Texas is presented as the only state. The only one with enough electoral college votes that's also trending, they argue, in the right direction to potentially provide that pathway.
Wow. Not just a state, but the state. That's a heavy claim.
It frames Texas as absolutely essential, not just, you know, a nice-to-have swing state, but potentially the key to future national power balance, according to this perspective.
Okay, so that's the potential. But what's the reality on the ground now? What's the current voting landscape look like in Texas based on these notes?
Well, the data points they use show about 18 million registered voters in Texas.
Huge number.
It is. And they estimate about half of those, so maybe 9 million, identify as Democrats.
Okay.
But only 5 million Texans actually voted for Democrats last year.
So a big gap. 4 million potential Democratic voters didn't vote Democrat or didn't vote at all.
Exactly. And this is highlighted as the major challenge. Millions of potential Democratic voters in Texas, the documents suggest, don't feel their vote matters, even with someone like Donald Trump on the ballot. The notes are really explicit here. They say there are enough Democrats in Texas to flip our state, but not enough of them are turning out to vote.
So the argument isn't necessarily about persuading swing voters.
Less about persuasion, more about activation, getting their existing identified base to actually show up. That seems to be the core problem they're trying to solve.
Okay, so if activation is the goal, mobilizing this large pool of registered but disengaged voters, mm-hmm. how does this Blue Texas initiative plan to do that? What's the actual solution they're proposing?
The main strategy outlined is simple in concept. Campaign statewide, everywhere.
What does that mean in practice?
It means recruiting volunteers to talk to neighbors. They specify from the Rio Grande Valley to the Panhandle, from Houston to El Paso, really covering the map.
And crucially.
Crucially, it's about recruiting candidates, but not just any candidates.
Right. You mentioned this earlier. They're looking for regular people.
Yes. Regular, hardworking Texans to run for office across the state. And importantly, not just for the big ticket races like Congress or the state legislature.
Also local races.
Yeah. Also for dozens of county and municipal races that apparently often go uncontested or are effectively vacant. Fill every slot.
That contest every race idea again. So definitely not looking for traditional politicians then.
The documents are very clear on this. Quote, aren't looking for standard issue politicians. They want regular people who have never run for office before, who have probably never even imagined running for office.
That's a fascinating approach.
Yeah.
But recruiting someone who's never even imagined running? That sounds challenging. What about support, experience, funding? Do the notes address that?
They don't explicitly list the pitfalls, like, say, lack of fundraising networks or policy expertise, but they do emphasize the commitment from the organizers.
What kind of commitment?
To provide funding and other resources needed to make these campaigns as successful as possible, and also to organize volunteers in every single county for direct voter contact, door knocking, phone calls.
So the implication is they recognize the need for significant backup for these non-traditional candidates.
It seems that way. They know they need to provide the infrastructure if they're recruiting people without their own.
Okay, that's the strategy. How are they actually kicking off this recruitment drive? How do they find these people?
They're launching something called the Turn Texas Blue Tour, starting in July, apparently, traveling the state specifically to find these potential candidates.
A roadshow for recruitment.
Kind of, yeah. And they also have a nomination process set up. They're asking people, you know, think hard about who should be in office, even if that person is maybe too humble or hasn't considered it.
Nominate your neighbor, essentially.
Something like that. Nominate someone you think deserves it, and Blue Texas says they'll follow up.
And the messaging around this.
Very urgent. The stakes, they argue, have never been higher, and there's a direct call to action framed by the organizers as needing to fight back against Trump, the McGee agenda, and specific state figures like Greg Abbott, Dan Patrick, and Ken Paxton.
Okay, so a very clear oppositional framing for their recruitment and mobilization efforts.
Definitely.
All right, moving from recruiting candidates to actual upcoming elections, the notes zoom in on a big one, the 2026 U.S. Senate race in Texas. What's the situation there?
Yeah, this race is already getting a lot of attention, even though it's, you know, a way off. On the Republican side, you've got a primary challenge shaping up.
Okay, who's involved?
Ken Paxton, who's the current Texas Attorney General, been in that job since 2015. He's challenging the incumbent Republican Senator John Cornyn, who's held the seat since way back in 2002.
An incumbent challenge. That's always notable.
Definitely. And this primary, where Republican voters pick their nominee, is set for March 3rd of next year, expected to be very expensive.
And what are the early signs? Does the polling mentioned in the notes give any hints?
Well, according to the polling cited in these documents, Paxton seems to be starting in a strong position among likely Republican primary voters.
Leading Cornyn.
Showing leads over Cornyn in the scenarios they looked at, both head-to-head and if other candidates were involved. It's also worth remembering, as the notes likely factor in, that Paxton was impeached by the Texas House just last year in 2023.
Right. That adds another layer of complexity. So potentially a vulnerable incumbent, at least in the primary. What does this dynamic mean for the Democrats looking at this race?
Well, it seems to maybe be encouraging interest on their side. Several prominent Democrats are mentioned as considering a run for that Senate seat.
But the notes also had that specific advice for Democratic voters, didn't they? About the primaries.
Yes, very explicit advice. They encourage Democrats to vote in their own primary. Don't cross over to try and influence the Republican primary.
Why not?
Their reasoning is that voting for, quote, the lesser of two evils in the other party's primary ultimately strengthens the Republican Party and weakens ours. They want Democrats focused on picking their strongest possible nominee.
Build your own party, don't play games in theirs.
Got it.
So who are some of these Democrats potentially throwing their hat in the ring?
Some familiar names are mentioned. Beto O'Rourke, former congressman, ran for Senate in 18, governor in 22. He's been holding town halls, apparently.
Who else?
Colin Allred. He's also a former congressman, and he was the Democratic Senate nominee just this year in 2024. The notes say he's seriously considering another run, with a decision maybe expected around July 2025.
Right. Any other names floated?
Yeah, a few others. Current U.S. Representative Joaquin Castro, State Representative James Tallarico, and others like Roland Gutierrez, Nathan Johnson, Ron Narenberg are also listed as potential candidates.
So quite a field potentially shaking up.
It seems so. And the notes suggest that part of this interest is fueled by those early polls showing Cornyn trailing Paxton in the primary. It perhaps signals a more competitive general election landscape, depending on who the GOP nominee is.
Makes sense. Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground here. From, you know, that local rally in Sherman all the way up to the national electoral map strategy focusing on Texas and this developing 2026 Senate race.
Yeah, it's quite a narrative woven through these documents. You see this really comprehensive effort mobilizing voters, trying to recruit totally new kinds of candidates, building that party infrastructure from the very local level up, all driven by this core belief, it seems, that Texas holds the key to future national political shifts and that the way to unlock it is by activating potentially millions of currently disengaged Democrats.
Yeah, the source material we dove into really gives you that sense of urgency, but also detailed, methodical planning behind these efforts.
Definitely plan.
It really highlights how organizers intend for individual actions, like that NO Kings rally, to connect directly to these huge statewide and national goals. It's all meant to be part of the same larger machine.
It really makes you think, doesn't it, about engagement? I mean, if the documents are right and roughly half the registered voters in a huge state like Texas identify with one party, but millions of them don't actually vote.
Yeah.
It raises that big question. What does it take to truly unlock the potential of an electorate like that? And if it is unlocked or if it isn't, how does that really reshape political outcomes, not just in Texas, but potentially across the whole country?
Mm. A powerful question to ponder as you go about your day. Thanks for joining us as we explore the complex world of Texas politics through these strategy documents.
Mm-hmm.
We really hope you feel thoroughly well-versed and maybe, a little intrigued by it all.